Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/1/19. January behind us, lots of movement in lots of different markets. I think you'll be surprised at the numbers. As expected and predicted by our resident expert here, Mickey Fulp. It is, after all, Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. Gold and silver, to a lesser extent, have advanced. And, well, question is it part of a multi-year rally, or is it just a seasonal rally, for which Mickey will confess, and myself as well, we don't have an answer, but we do have lots of questions. Mickey, hey, happy February.
Happy February to you. January flew by with great returns.
Yeah, great returns. I mean, man, you look at the broader indices, and they were like cooking. It's like, what correction? What are they talking about?
Well, they recovered a lot of what they lost during the last quarter year. Last year, January returns record 30 to 32 years for the Dow and the S&P 500. Dow was up 9% to 25,500. S&P 500 up almost 8% to 2704. The NASDAQ, despite poor earnings by Apple and some equivocal numbers from Amazon, closed up almost 10% to 7282. Big winner, Russell 2000 closed at 1499, up 11%. These socio-fascist Dems in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Congress should heed James Carville in 1992. The economy, stupid.
Well, how about just stupid? You know, what was that guy who said General Honoré during the Katrina evacuation? Don't get stuck on stupid. It looks like that party is really stuck on stupid. But the advances weren't just U.S.-based. We see really good gains in the Toronto and the venture.
Yeah, I think the U.S. bulls carried the month up north, with the Toronto Stock Exchange up 8.5%. to close at 15,541. Toronto Venture Exchange, in a very strong seasonal pattern, happens every year, maybe not to this degree, but it closed at 623, up almost 12% on the month. But let's put this in perspective. It gave back almost 35% last year, so long way to go. U.S. market bulls carried across the big pond, too, with the emerging market index, which is very leveraged to the Eastern Asian region, up to 1,050, almost 9%. On the month. And finally, VIX dropped all month, closed at 16.5.
Yeah,
volatility is low.
Indicator of things to come, perhaps. Hey, then we look at our money. We look at the dollar, the euro, 10-year yield on the 10-year treasury, and our erstwhile ersatz currency, Bitcoin. So dollar, you know, somewhat down for the month.
It was weaker on the month, basically driven by lower interest rates, I presume. Plus, there was no bad news coming out of the eurozone for a month. That's somewhat unusual. Closed at 95.57, down more than 0.5%. Euro closed $1.14, up 0.2%. Trump counterpunched Powell and apparently won, with a very dovish statement by the Fed on Wednesday, looking at less than 2 rate increases in 2019. 10-year T-bond closed off over 2% at 2.63%. And that's about it for money.
Yeah, well, our good friend Bitcoin not doing too good, huh?
Closed at 34.22 yesterday for a 7% loss in the month.
Yeah, I guess we should put money in quotation marks for Bitcoin, right? Because as yep. we know, it's not money, and it's showing that now more than ever. And, well, eventually we're going to be doing a paper on this about why all cryptos in their current incarnation are doomed, but there's time for that. Hey, so let's look at the metals. Enough to make, you know, we've got in gold anyway. We've got four consecutive months of increases.
Yes, we have. A weaker dollar played a part of that. Lower interest rates, certainly a part of that. But really, it's the seasonality of gold. We've done extensive work. It always goes up from November 1 to February 29th, strongest time of year. We're seeing that now with gold yesterday at 1321 for a 3% gain. It blew right past resistance at 1300, which is good news. Next major resistance is going to come in at about 1360. That's 7 month high for gold. Silver, good month, 3.7% gain to 1604. Platinum continues to muck about. It actually went below 800 again over the month, but it closed on a bit of a jump to 820, 3.3% gain. Palladium has gone to the moon, hit its all-time high in mid-month of 13.77. I will submit that's a parabolic top. It's now at 13.30 for a 6.2% gain. Meanwhile, copper rallied at month's end with the tariff talks going on with Xi and Trump right now. Close at 277, up 2% on the month. There is no speculative interest. Hedge funds have left all of commodity space. So it's left to the traders and very active front month contracts. For those interested in copper, we're coming out with a new musing after market today for subscribers only for a few days on the correlation of WTI oil and copper, or the lack thereof over the last 17 years.
That sounds like a really enlightening report, and can't wait to get a look at it for sure. So, hey, then we're shooting off to energy. It was a somewhat bleak picture.
Well, you know, we had close to, 35% loss, perhaps higher. Actually, as I'm looking at the table, oil lost, let me do the math here, lost 38% in the last quarter of last year. It made a significant amount of that up this month, closed at 53.79 for 18.5% gain. Brent, meanwhile, was up about the same amount to 61.89. The world glut of oil, which still exists, has been mitigated by the fact that OPEC is doing massive cuts, especially Saudi Arabia. They cannot afford these low oil prices. It got oversold as most markets did, and it still did not get rid of the world glut of oil, but ease some of the pressure.
Yeah, it's bleak. You know, anything I think below low 60s is really bad for the producers. It's great for consumers. I mean, there's nothing better than pulling up your SUV at the pump, putting in 50 gallons of premium and not having to take out a second mortgage on your home, but for the producers.
Or a second credit card because you've exceeded the limit of the gas pump, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if you can buy a tank of gas with two separate credit cards.
Oh, you can. I do it all the time with my old F-250 that holds 40 gallons of gasoline.
Yeah, and you can split it on the card. I didn't know that. Well,
no, you just put your card back in.
Oh, so
you run it again.
Right,
basically.
I got you. Interesting. Okay. Well, hey, I haven't had one of those in a while, so I haven't had the choice.
Well, you know, you fill one tank and then turn it off and open the other tank and fill the other tank by running your credit card again.
Right. Gotcha. Makes sense. So our Henry Hub, it had a high back in November, 465. Looked like it was getting ready to take off, but then the music changed and now it's still down.
Yeah, let me look at the numbers. It's hit a low at 281 since the end of August, down 4% after a massive 37% loss last week. Inventories are down, but they were less than expected yesterday. And despite a very frigid Northeast tier of states, that has not yet moved the gas market either. We'll wait and see what happens next week.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me. It's really freezing in the Midwest, And in the Northeast, it's...
Well, that's true. It does. It was minus five in St. Louis a couple of mornings ago. But they were predicted, I haven't looked today, but it's predicted to be 50 degrees there a couple of days for Friday. So
yeah. Well, as long as it's not a protracted cold spell, then the storage situation is probably not going to matter, and it'll keep going down. You know,
right.
Flatten out for the seasonality. But if we have a protracted cold spell, then all bets are off because of the stupidity of Massachusetts and its inability to.
Yeah, well, that's those guys. They don't affect the rest of the country. So
yeah.
Finally, uranium is flat as it has been now for the last 4 months since it got above $28. In that 20, upper 28, lower 29 range, I'm convinced it's dependent on the Section 232 decision, which is expected in mid-April. It looks to me like spot price is treading water until then.
Uh-huh. Just tell us what that opinion means for the market.
Well, it's basically going to require, if it goes through, and we expect it will, that 25% of U.S. nuclear power pellets, U-308 pellets, be derived from mining of U.S. uranium deposits. So it's likely to create a two-tiered system with spot prices perhaps higher in the U.S. than the rest of the world, but certainly they need $40 to $45 for these ISR producers to come back on.
Yeah, makes total sense. And then finally, we got a couple of interesting ratios that you wanted to cover.
Well, yeah, once again, it has to do with platinum on both sides. Platinum to gold, again, at its all-time low over the month of 0.62. That ratio actually went lower at one point, did a little bit of recovery toward month end. And a platinum to palladium ratio, also in very rare territory, with a ratio of 0.62. We haven't seen that since 2001. Perhaps we should add the gold palladium ratio. It is once again, for the entire month, below one, and that is very unusual again since those magical times of market manipulation in 2000-2001.
All right. Well, I think that's it for the month. Pretty interesting, though. Just like clockwork, the metals put in their seasonal rally, precious metals, and a lot of volatility, which is good, and a lot of other things going on. So we find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com. Twitter handle is at mercenarygeo. You find us financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and our handle's at Kerry Lutz. And Mickey, good talking to you. We will pick up same time, same place next month.
Thanks a lot, Kerry. Always my pleasure.